Cation says graduation rate in Florida is at a 14-year high. Florida Republicans are pushing a bill that would deal a blow to state unions. House Bill 25, sponsored by State Rep Scott Plackin, would decertify any union in which 50% of workers don't pay dues, thus preventing them from being able to collectively bargain. Americans for Prosperity Florida are calling on state legislators to end corporate welfare for sports stadiums. The advocacy group wants legislation that would eliminate taxpayer handouts to build stadiums on public lands and end a program that gives professional sports teams subsidies to expand their stadiums here in Florida. DACA, the Dreamers Act, is putting Republicans in a compromising position on dealing with immigration issues.
FM 101.1 AM 600. Good morning. I'm Ed Dean along with Roger Henderson. This is Talk Radio WBOB. So let's get to it. Some of the biggest stories as of today, the DACA reaction after President Trump. Remember, you know, he sat down with the Democrats just a few days back. And pretty much when he talked about this type of an issue right here on dealing with DACA on both sides.
I feel having the Democrats in with us is absolutely vital because this should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love. Truly, it should be a bill of love.
Now, there was a lot of media reaction from both sides on this very issue. As we talked about today, some of this may bring and put the Republicans in a very compromising position. Here are some of the media reaction from conservatives like Ann Coulter and from those on CNN.
I think Donald Trump got his Gang of Eight tattoo tonight and the members only jacket for rhino cuck immigration squishes, because this is a guy who literally sat there today and shredded the entire Bannon Steve Miller agenda.
So now President Trump is being called a rhino. A Republican in name only. Here was Ann Coulter on that position. It pretty much said some could probably argument and make it that way.
Kevin McCarthy is the hardliner on immigration in the room. I think we can call this the lowest day in the Trump presidency.
And some Republicans are going to sit back and say, well, is this going to damage the party? But Charlie Hurt from the Washington Times says, wait a second, if the Dems don't take a position on border control and border protection, it might hurt them.
On immigration and dealing with DACA. If at the end of the day they refuse to go along with the DACA legalization thing because it contains a wall element or because it contains an end chain migration, he made it very clear he's going to campaign against them on those issues, and he feels very confident that he'll win on those issues. And that to me is the most important thing out of that. And I think that it puts real pressure on Democrats to actually sort of try to figure out ways that they can give.
Now, remember President Trump on this issue in the campaign trail back in 2016, he said there wasn't going to be an amnesty. Now some people have said that maybe he's flip-flopping on this position. Let's go back to 2016 on an interview with Sean Hannity on Fox News.
No citizenship.
No citizenship. No
citizenship. Everyone no agree citizenship. With that?
All right. I mean, go a step further. They'll pay back taxes. They have to pay taxes. There's no amnesty as such. No amnesty as such.
Is the president backtracking on this issue? And is he becoming a little soft? Listen to some of the language here. You're going to hear with Laura Ingraham on Fox News. President Trump even says that there on this issue, there are too many members of those from his party from the, quote, far right.
Thank you, Lugino. It's very interesting because I do have people that are, let's just use a very common term, very far right and very far left. They're very unhappy about what we're doing, but I really don't believe they have to be.
The president says we have many members on his party that are very from the very far right. Laura Ingraham says, really?
The president hitting the far right. That's adopting the language of his fiercest critics on the left and many in the open borders crowd.
Roger Henderson, remember when Jeb Bush used the, hey, it's a show of compassion, like the sign of love.
Yeah.
When, when he was talking about, you know, having those of DACA and the children coming on over, and President Trump, you remember when he said this on Tuesday, talking about, you know, we need to show this type of a bill of love.
A bill of love.
But also, there are those out there supporting the president that may try to be putting a spin on this. Corey Lewandowski is the former campaign manager for Donald Trump, sat back and said that, hey, whether you agree with the president or not, by putting everybody on TV, which he did the other day, is a smart move.
Campaign promises that he outlined. What we saw yesterday was quintessential Donald Trump. He brought the cameras.
I loved it.
He held those guys accountable. I love it. He should do more of it. Have them accountable on television.
I agree.
The Democrats hate that because they want to go and make this rhetoric and have these propaganda answers.
You know, Roger, you could do that from both sides. I don't care what the position is. Every time the president sits down, if it's a 55-58 minute meeting, put all of these guys on camera, because every time when they come out, they go, well, no, somebody else misquoted what I said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very common. People can say, I didn't say that. Now you're on the record. The video's out there. It's gone viral on YouTube, and you're now seen as someone who's maybe dishonest. So I think it's a good thing to keep people honest.
222-TALK, 222-8255. We talked about this issue on yesterday's show. Is this worrisome to many of you? Do you believe Trump is using the media? Some of you say yes. I don't know about that. Some of you are, well, you know, Trump's going to get the banner hat. He's just having fun. Border wall security. We talked about this very much issue yesterday morning, that if there's going to be a compromise, and evidently if you listen to the language of President Trump, he's going to sign something one way or the other. Is it going to be about border security? Now, he sits back and says, hey, unless there's a border wall or border fence, I'm not signing anything. Okay, that's great for campaign slogans. The question that we have to ask, Roger, is that enough dealing with this issue?
You know what? It has to wait to be seen. I don't know, because I think that a lot of it is symbolism at this point. I think the president, if he wants to run for re-election, he made some campaign promises that the wall is going to be built. He also said that Mexico was going to pay for it. I don't think he wants to be in a debate for a general election and then say, you said you promised to build the wall and it wasn't built. What happened?
Florida Republicans, this is not a really bad measure here. Florida Republicans are pushing a bill that could deal a blow not to just education unions, but primarily education unions are up in arms about this, Roger. House Bill 25, sponsored by State Representative Scott Plankin. So what this bill does, it decertifies any union. So let's say that 50% of the union members don't pay dues. Oh, but somehow, oh, well, we need to go out and show that, A, we're against this and we're against that. If you don't pay dues, we're still going to take money out of your back pocket, blah, 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 whatever. And if 50% of the unions don't pay dues, which means they can't collect a bargaining, then should they be able to call themselves a union?
You know what? I've never been a member of a union. I'm not really 100% sure how it works. Are they saying that 50% of the employees have to be dues paying members, or members of the union who aren't paying their dues and they're in default? How does that work?
What it does, it strips collective bargaining from unions that can't get 50% of their workforce. So let's say that here at the radio station, out of all three people that work here.
You're making the managers nervous, but
yeah,
go ahead.
Out of all the people that work here, let's say that 50% of them were in a union. That means they could collect dues. There's a state rules and regulation on this.
Okay.
So, but what's happening is less than, say, let's let the chunk of people that work here, let's say that less than 50% are members of the unions out there. Should they still be able to keep their name the WBOB union crowd, whatever they want to call them?
Right.
So they say, so we're going to decertify you. It's kind of like a homeowners association.
Right.
Unless you have this many amount of paying dues, can you really, by state law and local law, can you call yourself one of these union groups out there?
And there are certain protections of unions, you know, once you are unionized, that you don't get as an individual employee. It's harder for the employer to fire you. There are guarantees on termination, depending on what's in the contracts, guaranteed maybe on retirement and that sort of thing. Whereas if you aren't unionized, it really is up to the employer and what the employee is able to get, you know, when they are hired.
Yeah, pretty much this would prevent unions from negotiating for health care cost and paid time off. So wait a second. This is kind of interesting. So let's say that there's no more than 50%. Let's say there's 34%. And they want to keep the unions around, but yet they're going to so the minority of the crowd is going to force the majority of the company to sit back and say, well, you got to give us pay time off. We want better health care benefits. So instead of going into negotiations through an employee-employer contract without union involvement, they sit back and say, no, we're going to create a union so we can demand, oh, and by the way, if not, you can't really strike here in the state of Florida. Collective bargaining, which kind of makes the whole thing redundancy. What's the board of five collective bargaining if you can't strike?
Right.
But they put them on notice out there. I mean, but the Democrats, with all due respect, are really overblowing this issue. And what they're trying to do is act like, hey, we got a big union, and with this union name of whatever company we work for, we demand that the House Republicans here in the state of Florida do not abide by this bill that would hurt us. This is what's interesting about this. The Republicans control everything here in Florida, and yet they can't get this passed. So evidently the union still has some stroke here in Florida. Just pretty much just sits back and says, unless you've got more than 50% plus of people paying your union dues, you cannot classify yourself as some big-time union. That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, I think unions nowadays are very irrelevant. You know,
yes.
At least in the private sector. I know government employees, they've got their unions. Maybe it benefits them. Maybe we'll hear from some union members
today. Can you
today.
Imagine what this would do to the local school board unions out there? In fact, they should just decertify them all. If you want to have your little gang out there from the little rascals, then knock yourself out. But the force the teachers that they must abide by it, and they must put in money. And by the way, the money that they take, they can't support any candidate that they want without the teacher's involvement.
Interesting. Very interesting. Now, here's the deal. If employers, if these unions start getting decertified all over the state of Florida and the employers take advantage of that,
save them a lot of money,
there could end up being a pushback, and then the people start saying, we really do need a union at this point.
What do you mean?
Well, if for example, they decertify all these unions,
right?
And the employers say,
okay.
No, you just
get union decertification. You can create, but it doesn't, but right. Within certain federal laws for financial stuff, if you want health care for a small business, you got to have a certain amount of employees according to state law.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So they're coming out saying, hey, you guys can't be calling yourself a union. 50% of a crowd is paying union. You got to have a certain amount of members paying dues. Otherwise, we're not going to classify you as a union.
Well, my question is, what if these unions then get decertified, which they probably should if you don't have right. At least 50%. And then the employer looks at that, aha, now we can really go after these employees and mistreat them. Then the pushback would be they may want to really have unions.
Folks, what do you mean this mistreatment? What employees are being mistreated? I mean,
why was Barack Obama reelected in 2012?
Because pretty much they was on. He thought they came back to the precipice of
right.
a cliff of an economy out
right.
there. And Mitt Romney just absolutely stunk. You think it was based on unions and workplace,
I think that may have played into
nonsense.
It.
Nonsense. I don't know. I never knew that was a big issue.
I don't know. I think
treating people, I mean, does it happen? Then fine. You go to another job. You sit back and say, I want better, but sit there, have a union and hold a company hostage out there. That's a different story.
I'm not saying that should happen, but I also don't think the employees should be taken advantage of.
Right. So then why not create a union for everybody then?
Well, it's not necessary
by
if the employees
way,
are treating
which,
them right.
Which creates a higher increase in payments for premiums, which means it creates a higher placement of those from pensions and union. And by the way, I need a bigger retirement, which creates more of a chaos from an owner's profit sharing that he has to put in there. Higher minimum wage, not based on the market, but based on, hey, we're going to force it down people's throat because the unions want to do it. It just creates a bigger cost.
I'm not a supporter of unions. I don't think they're necessary. But the reason why they were started in the first place is because of excesses that were taking place.
Sure,
and
back
abuses.
In the 1920s and 30s, right. At the conception, might have been a decent argument. Do you need them today?
My only point is, let's not get back to that place, and then people have to push.
You're not
that.
Going back to that place.
Okay,
trust
that's
me.
All.
222-TALK, 222-8255 FM, 101.1 AM 600 WBOB.
There's a crash on Butler Boulevard this morning. It's headed east at around Southside and on 295 north at Dunn Avenue. We're looking at an accident blocking the left shoulder. Traffic brought to us this morning by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
The Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And we are in a dense fog advisory until 10 o'clock today. Light but consistent rain throughout the day today. A high of 75. Clearing tonight. A low in the low 60s currently. It's 63 here at WBOB. And here are the stories we're looking at this morning. The Florida Department of Education says graduation rate in Florida is at a 14-year high. Florida Republicans are pushing a bill that would deal a blow to state unions. House Bill 25, sponsored by State Rep. Scott Platkin, would decertify any union with 50% of workers who don't pay dues, thus preventing them from being able to collectively bargain. Americans for Prosperity Florida are calling on state legislators to end corporate welfare for sports stadiums. The advocacy group wants legislation that would eliminate taxpayer handouts to build stadiums on public lands and end a program that gives professional sports teams subsidies to expand their stadiums here in Florida. DACA, the Dreamers Act, is putting Republicans in a compromising position on dealing with immigrant issues.
222-TALK, 222-8255. I think he's downstairs if you want to go ahead and get it. That's fine, man. I appreciate it. I'd make Brian do, but he never shows up on time. So
yeah, it's multitasking going on.
I know, man. Trust me.
I'll be back.
Ed Dean along with Roger Henderson here on the morning show on FM 101.1 AM 600, Talk Radio WBOB. Jacksonville City Councilman Matt Schellenberg is going to hang out with part of us with us this morning. Also, coming up in just a little bit, should we decertify unions here in the state of Florida? The teachers' unions are up in arms because of a big story that is really making the news today, that where State Representative Scott Plankin out of the state of Florida wants to push a bill that basically says, hey, listen, if 50% of your employees are not in a union or they're not paying union dues, should you have the right to call yourself a union? Now, in the financial world, the government comes in and says, well, if you don't have this many amount of employees, like, for example, like with Obamacare, if you're 50 or more over, then you've got to abide and give benefits and health care and be forced to pay it for many of your employees out there. Underneath that, you know, well, then again, you don't have to. So the government sets rules and regulations if you want to classify yourself as a union. Many unions here in the state of Florida, several of the police unions out there, don't even have more than 50% that are paying union dues. Should they have the right to go out and have collective bargaining out there? And what would this do to the back pocket of taxpayers? And by the way, companies out there, for businesses, what would this do if you want to decertify even with teachers' unions here in the state of Florida? Many of those out there are saying that this would just put a major slaughter and a deal and blow unions out of the water. So we're discussing that, and we'll talk more about that coming up in a little bit. At 7:45, the Ripoff of the Week by Adam Andrzejewski with the group OpenTheBooks.com. It is an awesome segment on Talk Radio. And, of course, that's brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. Triple Talk, 222-8255. The CEO of J.P. Morgan says, hey, the economy and the reason why things are pretty much ready to go and what you see right now is the economy was pretty much vent up. Here was Jamie Dimon on the Fox Business News.
Some reason can't completely figure it out, but the American economy looks like it's strengthening.
What's behind that?
This is my own personal opinion, and I can't prove it. It's kind of pent up. We were growing slow for a long time. You know, animal spirits are back. Markets are higher. So things are happening. They just happen slower and later.
So the economy is pretty much pent up and ready to go. Do we need to remind people what took place a lot with the Obama economy? Hey, Rashawn Hannity on Fox News giving out the real record of what took place over the last 8 years. Because remember, they are still taking credit for the economy that, well, they say that Trump inherited.
And remember, Barack Obama, the only president in the history of this country to never reach 3% GDP growth for an entire year. And under Obama's economy, I'll remind you, it was god-awful. Lowest labor participation rate since the 70s. 95 million Americans out of the labor force. The worst economic recovery since the 40s. The lowest home ownership rate in 51 years. 13 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more in poverty, 43 million total living in poverty under Obama.
Newt Gingrich is on Talk Radio WABC, was asked about this question. If the economy is turning around, can the Democrats, which have been over the last month because of the tax cuts, and remember many companies came out and said that we're going to hire several people, we're going to be giving $1,000 bonuses out there, at least the vast array and majority of companies out there. The Democrats got caught off guard, and now they've been out there saying that, well, wait a second, the economy we see out there, Trump is pretty much inherited. Gingrich says, when you look at the Obama economy and how Democrats want to defend it, it was almost like he showed contempt for the success of small business.
And the guy just stared at him like he was nuts. But Obama had this school teacher contempt for people who create jobs and who earn a living and who run businesses, and people could feel it. And then he appointed people to things like the Consumer Finance Protection Agency, who are really deeply, bitterly anti-business and willing to impose, use the power of government. And so people sort of shrank. And that's why you had for 8 years the lowest rate of economic growth, I think, of any president in American history. I mean, lower than the 8 years of the Great Depression.
Now, of course, Gene Sperling, who was an economic advisor for President Obama, was recently on a PBS show and kind of gave out his reasons why that, again, they're defending President Obama.
Coming, the type of, I mean, look, this wasn't an average recession. This was the worst recession and crisis since the Great Depression. You didn't bounce back as quick. And I think, you know, look, we could talk about other things. I think people got kind of stimulus fatigue. You know, if you want to know what was the chart we used to show Barack Obama that would drive him absolutely crazy, we would say, what would growth be in the economy and unemployment if state and local spending had been the same under your presidency as it had been in the Bush and Reagan recoveries.
So there we go. So we don't blame Bush for the eight years, Roger. So now we're going to blame state and local government, especially if they're run by Republicans, because you guys didn't spend enough government money out there. This is the reason why the economy did not make that 3% GDP growth rate that it should have made, that it's making now.
Blame assignment. Yeah, it's politics. People like to say it's the other guy's fault.
Oh, we know that.
Even when it's not. Or even if it is, you know?
222-8255. One of my favorite groups, Americans for Prosperity, is saying here in the state of Florida that legislators need to end the corporate welfare for sports stadiums. Uh-oh, what would that say if they want to expand Everbank Field, Sean Conn, the Jags? The advocacy group wants legislation that would eliminate taxpayer handouts to build stadiums on public lands and also in programs that give sports stadiums subsidies to expand their stadiums. This is a hot button issue. There is not so much subsidies. Did you know here in the state of Florida, we actually have direct taxpayer dollars that fund sports stadiums? Yes.
You look at a town like Jacksonville, though, I don't believe the Jaguars would be here without the subsidies.
Really?
To be honest with you, yes.
Oh, yeah, they can afford it. They can afford it. Incentives is one thing, but giving direct taxpayer dollars. 222-8255. It's amazing. Everybody else that wants to advocate to tax the rich, but anytime that they want to come in and, you know, get a tax break, they're always the first ones to come out and wanting it out there. 222-8255. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
On Butler Boulevard this morning, as you pass Southside headed in the direction of the beach, you're seeing a wreck this morning and a lot of cars starting to back up. And on the north side, 295 north of Dunn Avenue, there's a wreck on the left. And here are the stories we're looking at today. The Florida Department of Education says the graduation rate in Florida is at a 14-year high. Florida Republicans are pushing a bill that would deal a blow to state unions. House Bill 25, sponsored by State Rep Scott Plackin, would decertify any union in which 50% of the workers don't pay dues, thus preventing them from being able to collectively bargain. Americans for Prosperity Florida are calling on state legislators to end corporate welfare for sports stadiums. The advocacy group wants legislation that would eliminate taxpayer handouts to build stadiums on public lands and end programs that give professional sports teams subsidies to expand their stadiums here in Florida. And DACA, the Dreamers Act, is putting Republicans in a compromising position on dealing with immigrant issues.
All right, we're having a little conversation here. FM 101.1, AM 600, WBOB, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Good morning, I'm Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Good, man. And then here in the studios with us, our good friend, came in a little early today, Councilman here in the city of Jacksonville, Matt Schellenberg.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, you guys look great.
Well, that I know. Thank you.
It's the best we looked all year, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good one out there. Hey, when I talk about news, and one of the couple of the big news stories we're talking about this morning, 222-TALK, 222-8255, Florida Republican Scott Plankin wants to push a bill that would decertify unions in which 50% of workers, I mean, if you don't pay a due, you're not paying dues. Let's say that 30% of the members of the union only pay dues, but they act like, hey, we're this big union out there. He wants to decertify them. I mean, this is kind of like, well, why would the government be doing that? The government sets these requirements that if you want to call yourself like a small business, you have to employ a certain amount of people to be required to cover health care. I mean, it's just the way the government is. Yet it's amazing, as bad as everybody says, well, the unions, you know, they're at their lowest level. Republicans still can't get any of these things passed in Tallahassee, so evidently the union still got some stroke.
Well, I was listening to you on the way in. The unions, powerful unions in the state of Florida, are the police union and the fire union, as well as the teachers union.
Right.
And almost every other union that you're just describing. How about this? If people would just stop paying it, you're telling me that they are forced to do it? I think in the teachers union, you do not have to join the union. You do get a lot of the benefits.
Right.
So just don't pay the dues. And if you don't pay the dues, they self-destruct.
Well, that's what you would think. But, of course, the Republicans are trying to help them out with the self-destruction here.
I think this is government overreach. Let people do what they think is best for themselves and quit having – this is a problem with Tallahassee. Apparently, when they get to Tallahassee, Leon County, they're so much smarter than everybody else in this state of Florida.
Yeah, some of this new Republicanism over there kind of – I mean, I like where – I understand where they're coming from, but how they approach it's a little bit different. So Roger was asking. He goes – and Roger brings up a valid point. You know, maybe the 20s, you needed a little bit of unions out there. But remember, FDR, the king of the New Deal, did not want, supported me, especially the government unions out there. Is there, I mean, when did their time come and go? Was it in the 70s or 80s? I mean, you certainly don't need them around today.
No, I agree with you. But you know what? It's like what Reagan said, a government program lasts forever. It's almost like a union thing. But it wasn't the 20s. It really was the late 1890s and 10s and 20s when people work in coal mines. They were working long. You had child labor laws also at the same time. So I would say that the world that we live in now, I don't think we need them.
But do you believe
we can get rid of them?
But what about government unions, the fire, police and teachers? What is that different? And if so, why?
The biggest growth in unionism is municipal employees, not police and fire. But how about this? So you're basically with a union, if you do 7 years or whatever it is, we have work rules. Somebody that excels in his job cannot be any better than somebody that does not excel in the world. And so everybody gets paid the same thing. It is, to me, sort of communistic, don't you think?
It kind of sounds like it, if you want to use that word, yeah.
And everybody's treated the same. I don't believe that's to be the case. And I'm kind of disappointed that we still have unions, because if you are harder working than anybody else, you still get the same pay that someone does exactly what you're supposed to do over a course of a day or
you travel around here in the state of Florida for years as a reporter that I would cover the unions, and I still cover them as I still travel outside of the morning show here. The question is that if municipalities are still growing, the union part of that, and we're talking like the city janitor, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you're referring to. But yet we keep hearing about things that need to be a benefit to the taxpayers' back pocket. I got to tell you something. Maybe if there was 20 unions and negotiating contracts, maybe one out of a 20 out of a certain year where I've seen it ever benefit the backpayer at the taxpayers' back pocket. Most of these things just don't seem to do that.
Well, I don't know how many I should know how many unions there are in city government, but I think there's 5 or 6 unions that represent somebody's staff over at JEA.
Right.
You got electric union people. You got wire people. I don't even know all the categories. It's kind of fun.
Even in the city of Jacksonville, when you sit back and they say, well, we're not going to really address the union problem to 2029, then people sit back and go, again, why are we kicking the can down the road? I'm just saying that's the perception that comes across.
Right. Wow. I'm not sure how to answer, except that, every year JEA comes to us, not every year, every couple of years, they come to us and say, okay, we have this union, that union. We are planning to do this for the next 2 or 3 years. The city council actually has to approve it. And one of the problems that I see is, somebody that is works hard, why would you join a union when you always are treated the same as somebody else in your same category? If you're a 5-year man, you're a 5-year man. If you're a 10-year man, you're a 10-year man. There's no price differential going forward.
And by the way, if the states want more investment and a better rate of return on the money, you will decertify a lot of the unions, especially when you look at Florida, the AAA credit rating compared to unions and other states out there, again, where they cannot get it better. Because once you have to put more money for the defined benefit in a union pension, as you point out, you got to divvy that out to everybody to be fair. And man, you're in the hole big time for the next 30, 40, 50 years as far as unfunded liabilities.
So we're in the process, I think, of hiring, having 2 policemen, 3 policemen in a different category. And because you move them in, they're going to get a different salary. We asked the question of what is the actual cost of the pension? And the actual cost of the pension, just moving just 2 people, it's $100,000 a year going forward.
You know, 401(k)s is a great thing to do. Trust me. Listen, even
or defined contribution.
Yeah,
that they get to control and invest how they see fit.
222-8255 Let's go to Jim. Jim, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, Ed. Happy Thursday to you.
Thank you, sir.
I want to touch on what Mr. Schellenberg was talking about, not wanting somebody to negotiate for you and, you know, being a 5-year man or a 10-year man. I'm originally from Pennsylvania. I've been down here in Florida for 6.5 years now. The reason I left is, as a teacher, the NEA is so strong in Pennsylvania that it was very hard to find a job. No one got fired and no one quit because everything was guaranteed. And even when the economy was terrible, you were still getting a raise every year.
That's right.
And I said, you know what, I this is not the environment for me and my wife to succeed. We came down to Florida, and we've been able to succeed because of things like it being a right-to-work state. Now, my wife was able to survive 5 years in Duval County. God bless her. I did not make it through one. It was the worst experience ever. The teachers union is not very beneficial. I had to go into work with people that were inferior to me, who made more money because they've been able to make it, you know, more years than I have. And it was painful, and they were happy with the teachers union. I went with an outside organization called the American Association of Educators. Not only am I paying about $35 less a month to cover any kind of insurance if there's a lawsuit or anything like that, and legal fees, I have more money in my pocket, and I don't have to worry about someone else negotiating my contract. I can negotiate my contract when I go to school. So there's a lot of benefits to that, but it was just painful to watch inferior teachers make the same or more depending on how they've been working.
Interesting.
Well, help me out. If you were a better teacher than the one that was 20 years in there, I mean, you got paid whatever it was. You couldn't get the 20-year pay even though you were as good at, you know.
Well, but here's the thing. Why do we, even on a local level, I mean, are we worried about fire? Thank you for the call, by the way. Are we worried about fire and police being mistreated? Is that the reason why we need a union for public safety? What's the argument these days now?
It's a group think. I don't know. I don't know what their thinking is because I would never join a union.
So
I think I'm more of a person that you should get paid what you're worth. And if you work hard and are more productive, like any job, then you get paid more. A teacher, you know, you're supposed to show up. You're supposed to teach. But there are substantially better.
That's a free market idea. I like that.
Right.
But you're talking perfect world situation, too, and I think a lot of people are considering these things. But there's one issue that has not been discussed yet, and that is the political clout of unions. And here's something that I've had a big problem with, and also with corporate contributions to campaigns. You have union members who aren't U.S. citizens. Their union dues then get contributed to campaigns. They're not even Americans. American citizens
are
only allowed
pulling out the Trump card here.
Yeah, only American citizens are legally supposed to support financially political candidates, if I'm not mistaken. And through corporate donations as well as union donations, non-U.S. citizens, they're here legally, let's hope, but they still can contribute. I remember News Corp, one of their big stockholders, was the guy who was a member of the Saudi royal family. And if they were giving, and I'm not sure, I didn't watch, if they were giving to support a political candidate, you have the Saudi royal family then contributing to an election.
Hey, is that how Trump got elected with all the unions and the Russia collusion?
They worked out something because word came out that they were also behind the Ground Zero Mosque and it made Fox look bad.
Yeah,
so
I know.
They separated Fox News Channel from News Corp. So, no.
All right. 222-TALK. 222-8255, the email address at WBOB.com. Couple issues we've been talking about this morning. DACA, bad thing for Republicans, but it could even be worse for Democrats if they don't support border control. What is your take on this one? Who's going to win? The Florida Department of Education says that the graduation rate in Florida is at a 14-year high. Florida Republicans are looking to push a bill that would deal major blows to state unions. And do we need to have taxpayer subsidies for new and current existing sports stadiums? All of these on the table. I want to know what you think. 222-TALK, 222-8255, FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
On the north side, I-295 north at Dunn Avenue, there is an accident. We are also seeing a lot of buildup at I-10 headed toward downtown, starting around Stockton Street.
Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
We're now under a dense fog advisory till about 10 o'clock this morning. Light but consistent rain throughout the day. A high of 75, clearing tonight. Currently 63 here at WBOB. And here are the stories we're following for you this morning. The Florida Department of Education says the graduation rate in Florida is at a 14-year high. Florida Republicans are pushing a bill that would deal a blow to state unions. House Bill 25, sponsored by State Rep Scott Platkin, would decertify any union in which 50% of the workers don't pay dues, thus preventing them from being able to collectively bargain. Americans for Prosperity Florida are calling on state legislators to end corporate welfare for sports stadiums. The advocacy group wants legislation that will eliminate taxpayer handouts to build stadiums on public lands and end a program that gives professional sports teams subsidies to expand their stadiums here in Florida. DACA, the Dreamers Act, is putting Republicans in a compromising position on dealing with immigrant issues.
FM 101.1 AM 600. Good morning. I'm Ed Dean. This is Talk Radio WBOB along with Roger Henderson. We're going to get back to the phones at 222-TALK, 222-8255. 5-5, Councilman Matt Schellenberg's hanging out with us a little bit this morning here at the city of Jacksonville. Big issue that are on is big issue coming up with the Florida legislature, which has already started this week. Is it, as some of the newspapers out there, this is a big time union busting things out there. Before we get to the phones, big story that came out this morning is that one of the state representatives has pretty much, they want to push a bill that says that if less than 50% of unions are paying dues, then we're going to decertify you. You don't have a union because it's minority, not a majority out there. Pretty much this is state law in many of these cases out there that says if you want certain benefits, you have to hire a certain amount of employees. And this is some of the cases here with the unions. But one of my interesting questions I want to ask many of you, if unions are not that powerful, then why aren't the Republicans able to kill it?
A question I would have is how many unions, only half the people actually pay the dues? I mean, I love these legislators, like as I said earlier, they think they're the smartest people in the world. What evidence does he have that it's not being done? So I just find this unbelievable that they go over there, they make up things, or they might have found somebody back in their home city or county and said, hey, you know, can we do this? They're just decertify my union. What's the problem? Well, only half of them do. So what he does is not deal with the local person. He gets a law in the state that applies to everybody that, in fact, it doesn't apply to anybody but the one union.
Let's go to the phones. Who do you want to go with first, Roger? Let's go with Milton. Milton, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. I was a municipal employee for 29 years. I'm retired. And for probably, well, for that whole time, I was the IBEW member. And for probably 18 of those years, I was a shop steward. And the whole thing about hard work will get you ahead as a municipal employee is a joke.
That's what I'm saying.
I saw people get promotions that obviously didn't know their job, and hard work did not get them ahead. And I can't speak for every union. Oh, and I'm a registered Republican, very, very, very to the right. But our union, and I can't speak for every union, but our union worked with our company to improve the quality of our work. And we had a big say in that, and also in the safety. But the whole thing about hard work will get you ahead as a public employee is a joke.
Go ahead, Matt. You want to respond?
29 years. Pardon? Oh, can I get finished? And I'll
I was gonna let you respond again, Milton, if you want. Matt's been chomping. Okay. If you're going to ask you, I'll let you respond, Milton. No, I'm not going to cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, when your union supported a Democrat, what did you do? Because some of your dues went to support political candidates. What was your feeling in that regard?
Oh, I would speak out very much about that in union meetings. And I was very verbal about that. And I would say that probably in my particular union, the vast majority of everybody in it was Republican.
Right.
But the union leadership could have been just directly opposite of you.
But that's the problem. Union leadership is just like Washington. They do not represent the people. And I don't care if they're Republicans or Democrats. Yeah. They don't represent the people. They're just like Washington.
By the way, Milton's exactly correct.
I'm not going to quit my union because of bad leadership. I'm going to try to change it.
There you go. Hey, Milton, it's good to talk to you this morning.
Thanks for your call.
Milton, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Many people think that the unions are all run by Democrats. Local unions, believe it or not, we did a story on this years ago, the union memberships are all run by Republicans.
Yeah.
You know, now some of the higher-ups, the president, who I know very well, the Firefighters Union, he's a moderate Democrat, but they support both sides and things of that nature. By the way, they always hire Republican pollsters to get what they want because they say, well, the Republican pollster says that people support unions.
Now, you know, in our case, I know both the police union and the firemen union, both of them are great guys, and I think they probably lean more on the Republican side than Democratic
Good,
side.
Good, and tell them to lean more for a more of 401k free market style.
And guess where Ronald Reagan got his start in politics?
Yeah.
And union.
As a union
as
president.
As a SAG guy. You mentioned that you're not a union guy. I thought most people that were in this kind of business had to be in the union. That's not correct?
That was at one point the case back, I guess, in the 70s and 80s, but not anymore, especially in larger cities.
So you don't want to be a SAG member with, what's her name, Oprah?
No. I should run for president because I'm a... Anyway, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's go to Jim. Jim, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yeah, good morning. How y'all doing?
Hey, good morning.
Good, good. And good morning to your guest there.
Good morning.
My comment is kind of like the other caller. I'm not speaking for all unions, but let me give the public a little information. This is the reason why we have to have unions and police and law enforcement and fire. Most people probably don't even care and don't even know, but on the fire side, and I'm speaking as a third party because I'm pretty knowledgeable about these issues, but for example, state firefighters, when they're on duty, on call, they get paid $2 an hour. That's the reason why we have to have unions in police and fire. And once again, $2 an hour. That is correct. You can look it up. You can look into it. It's public record. I'm not sure about the police side, but I do know this. Unions for firefighters and police officers are mainly, to me, they're mainly there to kind of protect the individual if he's in a disciplinary situation, and also to retain, in other words, so the state legislature won't take any of your benefits. That's the reason why we have unions of police and fire, because what happens is at the end of the day, when the legislators get together and during the budget period, that raise that the police and fire was supposed to get, they start to cut up in pies and, well, we're going to send, you know, that raise is now going to be redistributed to, you know, building libraries and, you know, building a new bridge in this county and fixing roads over here. And at the end of the day, they can just take your raise away. I'm talking about their state legislators. So.
Yeah, but hold on. I'm going to chime in on this. First off, state legislators have nothing to do with local libraries. Any of that stuff. Now, I understand where he's coming from.
I would say that the way that the legislator's acting now, they think that they're smarter than him, and they're trying to take over all our responsibilities.
I understand where he's coming from. He says the money that's being wasted, and by the way, this is not the first time unions have said this. It's interesting to listen to government entities, badmouth of the government entities when it comes to spending of money, but it's interesting because he makes an interesting point. If they stop wasting money on some of the other things out there, we could get our pay raise. I say keep them all local. Don't leave anything to Tallahassee. But the other thing out there, when you look at this, it should be based on that we don't need to have any more contracts. Everybody talks about hiring the best of the best. If that's the case in scenario today, then you don't need unions around anymore. You could work out an employee-employer contract. This is what you're going to get paid. You're going to have increments. You're going to have more here. You're going to have more of a incremental money and pay raises and health care benefits. Why don't we just have that then?
Well, let me address it slightly differently. You know, Rick Scott said we're going to spend another $100 million for schools. You know, a lot of that money we have to actually raise ourselves locally to do it. But the other thing is, why doesn't the state legislator just say, hey, this Jacksonville, I'm going to give you $200 million. You spend it the best way you can. And that means teacher salaries, whatever it is. Teachers need to get paid more. I wouldn't argue this point. And you would get that profession. You would get more men in that profession, which you need going forward.
222-8255 FM 101.1 AM 600 Talk Radio WBOB.
We're seeing back up on the Buckman Bridge headed toward Mandarin.
The Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB.
Dense fog until about 10 o'clock and then rain, light rain throughout the day. High 75, clearing tonight. Right now, 63 at WBOB.
Hour number two coming your way. Sean Frost he's a school board member with the Association of School Board Accountability folks out there. We're going to talk about these teachers union getting all ticked off about decertifying them. So we'll talk about that. Also, funding sports stadiums for ShotCon and NASCAR and everybody, if they've got all this amount of money, if revenues are coming up, maybe they need the money because maybe revenues are down when you kneel down. Do they need the money to fund the sports stadiums? And also DACA and a lot of other issues coming your way. 222-8255. Ed Dean, where we make the controversial conversational right here on Talk Radio, WBOB.